My readings in the Old Testament. Oh, by the way, good morning, everybody. And it's a blessing for me to be able to share with you this morning. My readings in the Old Testament, my regular readings, are reading the books according to their alphabetical order. So lately I've been reading in Jeremiah, which is all about returning and repenting or else. And then Job, and I didn't have a hard time relating to that one. Why is God punishing me? next one is Joel, and it's predicting dark days. But also in the middle of Joel is the promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon us, on all flesh. And we're realizing that within 2 weeks, we have the celebration of Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we're actually looking to experience a more fully the Holy Spirit and His power and His ways amongst us. And then I got to Jonah, and I've never really paid a lot of attention to Jonah before. It's an interesting story, and I wanted to talk from it today. I'm past Jonah. I'm in the book of Joshua. So I want to talk about Jonah today. When we read Scripture, it's always important for us not just to read for information or the follow the storyline, but to actually put ourselves in the story. And we always can see more of ourselves as we read the Scriptures. This is what we're like, and we also see what God is like. And we want to see how we relate to God and how God relates to us. So this can happen in any Scriptures that we read. So I want to begin by reading the whole book of Jonah. It's 4 short chapters, but it's an interesting story. It's a bit strange if you think of it because of, just some of the turns of events in that story, but it's got some lessons for me for sure, and I think for all of us. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and pray. Call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord and the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they said, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault, and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. And from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to me. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded that fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began to go a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in it, in its shadow, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Strange story. Let's just see this story in a new light. I feel that I have, and I need to pay attention to what you're saying through this. So let us hear what you're saying to us. And show yourself, show who you are and show who we are, and we want to listen to you and obey you through what we're hearing today. So bless us as we meditate on this scripture. Thank you, Jesus. So we want to look at Jonah's first commissioning, verse 1. You're supposed to preach against Nineveh. What was Jonah's response? He ran away from the Lord. Got a ship, going to Tarshish, which is probably a town on the coast of Spain. So that's the opposite direction. He was supposed to go east. He went west. Why do you think he did that? I think there's a bit of a secret to that later in the book, but we'll just think of something that makes a lot of sense for Jonah not to want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was in Assyria, and Assyria was one of Israel's worst enemies, most feared enemies. Their method of warfare has been compared to the kind of butchery that Hamas wreaked on Israel on October the 7th. They not only killed people, they did horrendous things to them to make war against them. They were a very evil people. So that could have been one of the reasons that Jonah did not want them to hear a message from God. And so he went on this ship, and the Lord sent a storm. God's intervention sent a great wind on the sea, violent storm. The pagan sailors were each calling out to their gods, and they were afraid, and they prayed. Their ship was breaking apart. They were going to drown. Jonah, meanwhile, is fast asleep in the bottom of the boat, or below the deck, seemingly unaffected, unconcerned about what was happening. Captain found him there. He said, "How can you sleep in a storm like this? Pray." So the pagan captain gets the prophet to pray. Lots of irony in this particular book. The sailors try and figure out whose fault is this, that this is happening, and they cast lots, and the short straw comes to Jonah, and they're asking him, "Who are you, or what do you do? Where do you come from? What country, what people are you a part of?" And Jonah answers, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." In the ESV translation, that word worship is replaced by fear. "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Fear the Lord. What was he doing running away from the Lord? What was he doing disobeying? Did he really fear the Lord? The sailors, meanwhile, hear that he worships the God who is the maker of the sea and the dry land. So now they're even more terrified. "What have you done?" they ask him. And so the sailors ask Jonah, "What should we do with you?" "Well, it's all my fault. Throw me overboard." It's just hard to imagine somebody thinking like that or coming to that realization. We just wonder sometimes where Jonah's head was. But the pagan sailors are reluctant to do that. So they try harder to get to shore, rowing harder. It doesn't work. The storm gets more wild. And they start praying. They say, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you have pleased." The pagan sailors are more concerned for Jonah than he was for them, and didn't want him to perish. But they did that. They hurled Jonah into the sea, and the sea grew calm. This is the result in the sailors. They greatly feared the Lord, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. So it's interesting to me that Jonah's disobedience brings the sailor to an understanding, a belief in the true God, and he actually saves them physically and spiritually. How amazing does God work? So I always try and put myself into the story. And, you know, initially looking at this story, I can't relate. I wouldn't run away from God. I wouldn't disobey him. Wait a minute. I have to look back at my life. I have also received a commissioning Jonah's commission was to go and preach against this city. Our commissioning is this: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus had taught them. Or the one from Acts, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's been my response? I have to think of how many times I have ignored the nudge, the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Go, talk to somebody, phone somebody, pray with somebody, witness to the goodness of and the life in Jesus. And I've simply refused to obey, or else put it off for whatever reason, fear. I'm busy now, I'll do it later. And then ultimately forgetting. To my own shame, this has happened too many times, to my own shame and regret. I might as well have gone, like Jonah, gone the opposite direction. And I like to quote the verse for myself and my family: you have given us the heritage of those who fear the Lord. And again, when a person ignores the voice of the Lord or disobeys the Lord, how is that demonstrating the fear of God? And so I believe that this is one of the reasons that God intervened in my life. He sent a storm. My health has been deteriorating for the last probably 5 years. Things have been changing. First of all, it's not so hard to take. Just attribute it all to getting old. And still able to sleep at night. Now, not so much anymore. God's got my attention. Well, back to Jonah. So, looks like it's over for Jonah. He's done, right? No, the Lord provided a huge fish. First of all, he sent the storm, then he provided a huge fish to swallow him. In the fish, 3 days and three nights. We read Jonah's prayer. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. He gets a second chance. So with seaweed wrapped around his head, he prays in conclusion, I will praise you, I will sacrifice to you, pay my vows to you. And he uses the statement that Judith already used in her worship time: salvation belongs to the Lord. He's concerned mostly in that prayer about himself, his own rescue. Give me another chance. So God sent the storm, God sent the fish, and the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah on the ground, on dry ground. And Jonah gets recommissioned. Go to Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Jonah obeyed this time. Goes to Nineveh. He starts speaking to them. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Amazingly, the whole city repents. And then God relents. I want to read verse 10 in chapter 3. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Now we get to some interesting attitudes in Jonah. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. So Jonah is angry about what God is doing. So we really see the reason he left. He didn't want to do what God told him to do because he was afraid that God was going to relent from his threat of annihilating that city. he suspected God just might do that, and he didn't want to be a part of that. I think he hated the Ninevites, the Assyrians, so much. He thought that was not right. He wanted them dead. So Jonah's response was angry. He builds himself a shelter up on the hillside outside of Nineveh. He's still waiting for God to strike that city. Made himself a little shelter. It gets hot out there. And then the Lord provided a leafy plant. He provided the storm. He provided the fish. He made the fish vomit Jonah on the shore. And now he provides a leafy plant that grows up in one day and shelters Jonah. And he is so blessed with it, so pleased. It gives him some relief from the hot sun. Jonah's happy. It eased his discomfort. And I think sometimes when we're in trouble, that's the most we want from God, is to ease our discomfort. And how many times do we pray like that? You know, we call it to God, we want his help, but we can't think much further than just ourselves. Then God provided a worm. And then God provided a scorching wind. When the plant dried, the plant withered. When the plant was hit by this worm, the plant withered, the wind withered the plant, and Jonah grew faint and he wanted to die. And so God says, but he said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? I'm just amazed at God's patience with Jonah, and his attitude was just so wrong. But God is just asking him a question. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And God, imagine God actually including the animals. If he can use a plant, if Jonah had compassion on a plant, at least he might be able to have compassion on the animals, right? But he didn't have compassion on the people. So I think the biggest lesson in this book is to learn how compassionate God is. The greatest lesson, God's compassion. Should I not have concern for this great city? There's a couple of other takeaways that I want to mention. God uses the most unlikely and imperfect people in his plans. God is not hard on Jonah, ever. It's his attitude is immature and selfish, yet God just ends up asking him questions. Is it right for you to be angry? God is a God of second chances, and third and fourth. The interesting thing is that Jonah didn't seem to be changed. By the end of this book, no real change mentioned in his heart. Unlike Jonah, God doesn't want anyone to perish. I sometimes think of, I have a hard time praying for our prime minister and the government, because, you know, you see the city, the country going downhill, and yet you wonder what God's attitude is toward people that you just haven't got any heart for. But it just shows me often where my heart is. I just want to read part of Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So we want to pray. Lord, I'm just so aware that I need forgiveness from ignoring your voice, from wanting my own comfort, my own ease, my pleasure, instead of only wanting to do your will. I need your forgiveness. We need forgiveness, Lord. We put ourselves ahead of what you want so many times, and I realize I've done that so much. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for a second chance. And I just pray, God, that while you are giving me a second chance, I'll make the best of this second chance. Think of Hezekiah and how he was had 15 years added onto his life, and yet he wasted those years, and I don't want that to happen. So I want you to be glorified, your name to be honored and revered. I want to have a renewed fear of you, God. And I believe that's what you want to give us. I want you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking particularly, Lord, for you to give me a baptism of love, something that would make me understand so completely how much you love me, how much you love all of us, that it would change my attitude toward others and not wanting anyone to perish. Give us your compassion, Jesus. So, Lord, I just praise you for what you're speaking to me and where you have me at this time. And I just bless your name and worship you, declare salvation is of the Lord. May your name be lifted up amongst in my life and amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.